Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Let's talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey everybody, happy Wednesday. This is the Thanksgiving pregame show.
Yeah. Thanksgiving Eve, an underrated day of the year.
You know, one
very underrated
great tradition of today is that someone in sports media, very desperate to get interaction, is going to say something like, "Turkey's not good." Is that you? Do you do that? It's a tradition. It's a tradition.
Let me just say this.
Here it is.
I probably have said it.
Turkey's not good. We shouldn't eat
overrated.
It on Thanksgiving.
I will say this, though. If you see my Thanksgiving plate on a year-to-year basis...
Your turkey per 60 is low?
Oh, it's pretty low. Like, I'm talking 4% of the plate.
Okay.
This 5% of the plate. Like, it is... My plate is side dishes loaded up, and then a little turkey. Almost under the pressure of, well, you got to take the turkey. You don't take any turkey, and then suddenly you're the story of the table.
Right,
like,
true.
Everybody, attention. Joe didn't take any turkey. What's going on here? You got to take some, and it's almost it's fine. I got to load it up with gravy, though.
I have this problem where if someone tells me they don't like a food that I like, I just think that they haven't had a good version of it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you tell me you don't like stew.
Well.
And I'm like, you probably haven't had good stew.
That's how I feel when you say you don't like eggs.
But I've tried eggs.
Oh,
and you
okay.
can make the best eggs, and I cannot eat them.
I can guarantee you've had
that.
Great eggs, though.
I don't know. Make some tomorrow.
Okay.
Or Friday.
Make the best eggs
on earth.
I don't think eggs travel well.
Yeah.
It might be tough to execute.
And don't eggs get better the more other things you put in them?
Isn't that kind of the deal with turkey a little bit too? Not really. I guess it's more how you cook it.
Yes.
It's how you cook it. Well, you could stuff it, though, is what I'm saying.
Sure, but deep fried turkey, smoked turkey, regular, you know, roasted turkey.
Yeah, and I don't know that I've had deep fried or smoked turkey before. Maybe I've had, no, that's not true. I've had smoked turkey and it was very good from what I had. But just the generic oven roasted turkey, it's fine. I'm not going to tell you it's bad, but I'm not going to be loading up with a ton of turkey. If it's just, you know, oven roasted turkey, well cooked, good, put some gravy on it, that's fine. I'll take some. But I'm just not going nuts. I'm going nuts on the mashed potatoes and the and anything that's got a brown sugar layer on top and an orange layer underneath.
You want a candied Thanksgiving? Is
yes,
what
I
want.
Do. I want sugar,
candied yams.
Yeah.
Does anybody make it?
What's is it the same thing? Is it candied yams with the brown sugar, or is that also with the marshmallow topping?
The you ever had that? Sure, close.
Something's got marshmallow on top. I know that at one of my family gatherings every year.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah, it's probably just sweet potatoes. Right, so, yeah. Okay, my yams. Wait, yams are sweet potatoes, though, aren't they?
They're not. They're not the no? same. No, they're different.
Right. Well, I want my yams with brown sugar on top, and I want my sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top.
Brown sugar right. carrots. You guys ever had that? Like caramelized carrots?
That sounds delicious.
Super good.
Yep, I'm into that. Mashed potatoes. This is where I'm living. Stuffing, of course. Yeah.
This is also my yearly check-in to see like what is different between yams and sweet potatoes.
I thought they were the same thing.
They're not.
They're definitely not the same
thing. Yams are not as sweet as sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Starchier and drier. The texture and flavor are, okay, whatever. I think what they're similar in is they're two things that people load sugar into that are orange-ish.
Right.
Ish,
yes.
Right?
Love like,
here,
it.
Have these.
That's going to be 30% of my plate at least, for sure.
Sugar stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Sugar stuff and then stuffing. Lots of stuffing.
Yeah, good stuffing.
Listen, turkey is the king of the plate, but what is the Game of Thrones line? You think a crown gives you power? The stuffing's on the side here. That's where the power resides, is stuffing on that plate. So it might not be king, but it's number one. Definitely number one on that plate.
Good mashed potatoes, good stuffing. Pies, of course. The show before us, they were talking about, you know, lasagna, brisket.
Lasagna?
Yeah. Having unorthodox or whatever, just other non-traditional, which for you might be tradition, to have ham. I can't imagine eating ham.
No.
I don't want any part
of ham. I've never seen a ham.
Thanksgiving ham?
Yeah, no. That's never happened. You were talking yesterday about Thanksgiving horror stories. I did think of one, which was there was one year when I was a kid. I don't even remember who or where this would have been, but there was a year where the turkey didn't seem to be turkey. It somehow seemed to be another meat of some sort. Maybe it was ham.
Oh, you just don't... You were too young to remember?
A little bit. But there was a brouhaha at a family gathering because...
The people
wait a minute. This is not... This somehow isn't turkey, or there was a question with the meat itself.
The person that prepared it did not know?
I guess, yeah. Again, I'm fuzzy on the details.
You say that's kind of tough to do because,
but
you know, depending on what meat it was determines what temperature you cooked
it. It could have just been a bad turkey, maybe, too.
Maybe, yeah. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, in advance. Sabres play tonight. We got a Bills day ahead of us. Sal's back. We'll talk to Sal coming up at 7. And, you know, Thanksgiving pregame show.
I love Thanksgiving Eve so much. Thanksgiving Eve is still, is it not still the best night to go out of the year?
You say that like I ever go out at night anymore.
Oh, right.
So
look who I'm talking to.
I don't know if it's the best night of the year.
Yeah.
It at one point used to be. Sure, for me.
Or yes.
I would say this. It used to be, or maybe still is, the difference is maybe going out in a city that you're from.
I think that's. I was just gonna wonder if that's different.
Like, yeah. If I go out on Thanksgiving Eve, I'll still see a lot of people that I know.
Yeah,
but I'm not seeing a lot of people from high school.
That's the other thing too. Is like within the last couple of years, this has changed. Maybe post COVID, because when I would have been in college still, of course, and then even a few years after that, Thanksgiving Eve was everybody's back in town, right? Everybody's back in town to see family, and what are they doing the night before? They're all going out to the same spots they would have been going out before. And that's a little different now. That would be a little different now.
Maybe. There's also, you know, the Sabres game is a great spot for that. A Bills home
yes.
game the weekend of Thanksgiving can be good for that too, because you'll see people that are coming back. And again, like, I've lived here long enough to know a lot of people from here that live here, but there's not a reunion of sorts for my high school or anything like that, because
right.
I grew up 2 hours away.
Yeah. And the Sabres playing tonight will be. I've already had a few people reach out, like, "Are you going to the game tonight? Are you going to the game tonight?" Like, we're gonna be downtown after the game tonight. So I know that's a lot of people's plans.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to carry that gravy boat around, though.
That's true.
All night,
it's worth it.
Well, put it in your car.
Who's gonna score me a gravy boat? How am I gonna swing that?
Go, look up tickets.
Yeah, I mean that's one option. It's going.
Go to the game. That's how you get it.
Maybe.
Are those one of those things where you might see them available at a certain department store like a couple of days later? Because I know that's happened with other giveaways in the past.
I don't know.
I don't know about the gravy boat, though.
I suppose that's possible.
Yeah.
803-0550 is our phone number. Sabres in Wild tonight. Are they still in the playoffs? They fall out because of the out-of-town scoreboard. They haven't played since Saturday.
You know, I said I was going to start scoreboard watching, and you just asked that question. I have no idea who played last night.
Here's how you know you're really in the playoff race. If you can get in a playoff spot on Saturday and still be in it on Wednesday, having played no games, you've made progress.
Oh,
and I'm happy to report they are still in the spot.
And they've played fewer games than everybody.
Yes.
Gotta love that. Boston's played two more games, and they have the same amount of points.
Boston got shut out again.
Beautiful. Love that. Love seeing them finally maybe be bad. I had to put the maybe in there.
It's so funny. Like these tiny,
the goal differential stinks.
These tiny little, whatever, mile markers or milestones, they got in a playoff spot on a Saturday, and they didn't play, and they were still in it on Wednesday. You know, that's not unusual if you're a team that's in the playoffs.
But it wasn't like... We had this a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Where the Sabres played a game at like 1 o'clock, and it was, guys, if they win at 1 o'clock, at least for the next 4 hours,
that's right.
They're going to be in a spot. Don't worry about what happens at 7.
Not kidding. It's very possible the Sabres have been in a playoff spot more in the last 4 days than the last 10 years Thanksgiving plus.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Like other than how long were they in a spot after the 10-game win streak?
Okay, into December, that's right.
But if you take other than that 1 year, I might agree with you.
Right. Yeah. I guess we shouldn't eliminate a season where they won 10 in a row, but that's not exactly a normal year. Then, of course, they finished last. So
they finished in the same spot that they
were
going to be anyway.
803-0550 on the Sabres, on the Bills, all that good stuff. I can't wait to talk to Sal today because I want to see if he might have a same guess. Again, it's a guess. I just think it's Milano Day. I think we're finding out Milano is back. Because when they activate his practice window, you get 3 weeks. There's a bye week built in. You don't have to rush. The fact that you did it when there's a bye week in there as well, to me, it just smells like Milano comes back this week. And that would be exciting. Either way, we'll find out what he's doing at practice, how much more he's practicing versus unable to play, whatever. I'm just, today it's a it's a Milano update day, and I have high hopes that it's all the way to the moon, Joe. Like, oh, he's back. He's out of this jersey. Mm-hmm. He's into this, and here we go.
Should I definitely be excited to the point that he's going to be what? Like, what should our expectation realistically be about him when he gets back on the field? Like, am I just to expect, oh, he's right back to one of the best linebackers in football, guy that the last time he was healthy and they ran one of those, actually, even when he wasn't healthy, I think when he was coming off the injury, there would have been one of those executives polls in the NFL, who are the best linebackers in football, and Matt Milano was like third, like one of the best five linebackers in the league, like no question about it. Is that what I'm to expect, that he's just going to come back off the field if you're not playing for more than a calendar year and just be one of the best five linebackers in football again?
Would you take eighth?
Sure.
Would you think that's possible?
I think I would take... Wouldn't you just take anything better than Dorian Williams? And that's not even to say Dorian Williams has been bad. It's just...
Right.
Milano, I think, would, at the minimum, be expected to be an upgrade over what they've had for this whole season so far.
Yeah, I mean, this is similar to the Niners getting Christian McCaffrey back for Jordan Mason. Like, Mason's not been bad, but that's our guy over there.
Right.
We're going to put McCaffrey back in, which, by the way, coming into this game this week, I'll get it for you later. There's some data in the numbers of the last game or two, however many McCaffrey's played, that he doesn't have it yet. You're not playing a 100% Christian McCaffrey. You see it in his speed.
Yeah.
And next-gen stats and all that, tracking how well he's running. So we'll see how long that takes to kick up the full speed.
And keep in mind, Williams... I've got his PFF page open, so like take the grades for what they're worth, with a grain of salt. He's one of their better run defenders. In fact, he might be their best run defending player in general. Him and Taylor Rapp. He, by their coverage grades, is the worst Bill starter on the season. He's their worst cover player that starts behind everybody. And they're doing those dime packages more and more often where he comes off the field totally and they leave Cam Lewis out there or put Cam Lewis out there. So there is definite room for improvement from Williams, and I think the biggest point of emphasis on that might be just his ability to cover. And that's Milano. That's like, think Milano, the last, what's the last play you can think that Milano has made? Was it even the last game he played in full? Was that Raider game last year where he like mossed Josh Jacobs, like ripped the ball away from him, like in a little route down the field and then took it back? Like, Milano in coverage is typically, I think, where you're expecting an elite player.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Who else are we waiting on? Spencer Brown, Amari, or
and
sorry.
And Coleman and Kincaid.
Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid. Those three.
Yeah.
And Coleman, I feel like he'll be fine too, right? I mean, Coleman, at the last, when last we left him, he wasn't wearing anything. It was just the kind of thing where.
Right.
So, we'll see. I mean, when he wasn't wearing anything, you know, like a brace.
And Kincaid,
he was wearing clothes.
Kincaid, I'm just interested if there's going to be any uptick at all down the stretch when he comes back, because he hasn't cracked 35 yards in more than a month now, and he didn't play in one of those games. One of them was a bye week, so that's only three games worth. But I mean, that's the one guy on offense that I would say isn't quite meeting the high hopes of before the season. He's not been bad. It's just Him and Allen have not been on the same page. I also now just don't know if they need him to take a giant step forward, right? They have enough weapons, I think, where before the year it would have been, well, they better get a huge breakout season out of Dalton Kincaid. And right now, if you told me he's going to do what he's been doing all year the rest of the way, I'm not changing my opinion of the Bills' offense. If you told me, oh, he's going to average 30 yards a game. All right, fine. Well, whatever.
I mean, is Knox picking up any slack during that, or are you just not worried about the tight ends? Because I tend to just not worry about the tight ends.
What if I just told you in general, hey, the tight ends are going to combine for 50 yards a game?
Sure, fine.
Like, I don't even care where it comes from.
It's probably
just 50
fine.
To 60 yards a game. That's what you're getting from tight ends.
It's not really a great return on investment, but it's fine.
Right.
Kyle in Jacksonville going to lead us off this morning. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Good. Hey, morning.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, but I got a point, but before I do, just from a Thanksgiving perspective, appreciate you guys. For those of us who travel a ton and kind of thrive off morning routines, I know that you're not always at your best, but absolutely kind of rely on you guys every day. And I'm not being hyperbolic in it. Like, it's something that is really important to me. And so thank you guys for you know, showing up every day.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, so I've kind of been the guy calling about the unsexy take around depth this season, and also about McDermott, but it was 2 points. One, I can't stress enough how impressed I am with the roster building of this team. I was reading a story yesterday, and they were talking about players we may have to move on from next year, and one of those players, they were talking about potentially, you know, not extending Rasul Douglas or not renegotiating with Douglas, and I bristled at the thought. And then they were like, and I don't, and by the way, I'm Team Douglas, but they're like, hey, but behind them, they've been grooming Elam. They've got Ingram, who's been a really pleasant surprise. And I guess the point is, even in the Milano conversation you guys were just having, it's different with linebackers. I think they either got to go or not go. I'm very curious to see what we do. Bring him back full go? Does he rotate in on, does he rotate in on certain plays just to start to get the feel back? It's just a luxury, you know, all of things that we'll find out, right? But it's a luxury that we've been grown accustomed to under this McDermott being regime that in the drought years we just didn't have. I mean, we got super high on the idea of one stud player coming in and hopefully saving that unit, right? You think like a Mario Williams or something like that. And so it's a little bit of just giving our flowers to Bean and McDermott. Sure, Bean's missed, but I think we're rewriting his narrative too, because it, you know, if you listen to, like I do, like I mentioned to start every day, there was a time when people were saying, hey, actually, Bean's just getting a lot of credit for Josh Allen. Well, actually, he's not. Like, there's a ton of players that we're finding. We've had a couple people who have taken a little bit longer to develop in the early rounds, but he's getting late-round gems. And so it's just as a 38-year-old Bills fan who has lived through a ton of mediocrity, like everyone who listens to the station, it is so refreshing to be on a team that, you know, if we even start talking about next year, guys, which I don't want to do, but of course then I go do it. Like, I love the fact that, yeah, we're all team wide receiver trained, but I think we're also going to start to reevaluate that a little bit too. I'm not saying, guys, don't lose your mind. I mean, I'm not saying don't go for a wide receiver, but I am saying we're in a position where we've proven that we can build talent, and so you can add really good depth pieces, and that's just, it's just an awesome place to live. So maybe I'm feeling a little bit grateful here on a pre-Thanksgiving, but it's a really cool spot for us as a fan base to sit there and watch professionals run an organization. And there is no doubt that this is one of the best run organizations in the National Football League year in, year out. And so for kind of everyone who clamors for constant change and perfection, I get it, but just look at, you know, the Dable lovers, right? And love Dable. And I'm not saying, obviously, Dable did great for Josh, but, you know, Shane and Dable are having a real tough go right now. And so everyone who's saying we took the wrong coach and blah, blah, yeah. So anyways.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks. I mean, Dable, they've developed a couple of really nice players there. Their quarterback is a disaster. But without, you know, turning it to that, the one thing I'll say about, you know, as you mentioned, like, they're developing Elam, I think they consistently get really good play from defensive backs in Sean McDermott's system. And this is where I would go to with the point. Like, you said a lot there, Kyle. Is there a spot where they feel like we can weaponize that? Mm-hmm. Where, you know what? We don't ever need to spend a top first, second round pick on a corner. Because
I think corner might be the spot.
That might be the spot.
Yeah.
Then I don't necessarily want to fall into a trap with that. Because yeah. Tre'Davious White was a first round pick and he was awesome.
Right.
And I don't want to necessarily get tied up in that, well, Elam wasn't good and Benford was. But
yeah.
That would be the question I ask about it. You know, not necessarily that there's a concrete answer, but is there a spot where you'd say, well, we're good enough getting these type of players so we can get them at bargain basement prices? Like, there's one spot the Bills have, I think, consistently underfunded, and that is receiver. And where are most of their good players at receiver? Shakir's a nice fifth-round find, but they traded a first for Diggs. And they traded a third for Cooper, who's an established guy.
And they spent a second on Coleman.
Coleman's the highest
pick of the second round.
Coleman's the highest receiver they drafted.
Right.
Outside of, no, Zay Jones is a second round pick.
Yeah, like, so, and that looks good right now.
Coleman is the highest asset they've spent on a receiver. So, like, it doesn't have to be only about receivers. When this season ends and they decide, you know, you mentioned Douglas. Are they going to want a corner with a first round pick? Are they going to want a defensive end? Because at defensive end, where are you after Vaughn leaves? You have Rousseau, who's good. You're going to want somebody else. So, yeah, I think they're pretty good at developing talent, pretty good at all the depth stuff that you laid out. I always want to, as a former Patriot hater and cynic, point out that a lot of things do look rosy when your quarterback fixes all your mistakes. That's all. Doesn't mean you haven't made other good moves. Just, man, when the quarterback wins you so many games, everybody looks good.
Yep.
And I think he still does a lot of that. So, but in general, the point, you know, their player development, their ability to lose a guy and somebody else goes in. I think from a defensive standpoint, that speaks to the McDermott system is pretty well built and pretty sound.
I think I could buy two things. One, their quarterback makes up for a lot of deficiencies on offense, especially, and hides any mistakes that would happen there. Defensively, I think it's kind of hard to argue they do not know what they're doing. I mean, Aaron Schatz, for years on this station, and others, not just him, but I feel like I always remember him making this point the most, is that it's harder to sustain defense year to year to year. That, like, the Seahawks and the Legion of Boom era were, like, the only team that ever sustained top five, top ten defense every single year. And I feel like the Bills have done that for, like, 7 years
They're
now.
Pretty close, yeah.
They don't really – we have a bet about this, just in about longevity and, like, will they ever have, like, a bottom 10 defense. It has not happened yet. And it's been 7 years. And they've never really had a bad defense. They had a bad defense for, like, a month last season when they had seven injuries. And then they kind of bounce back at the end, right? Yep. So, like, it just, it hasn't happened. And I think that is a credit to them. And there's no doubt, I think, that they just, they will get the most out of a defensive back, right?
Yep.
They're going to get the most out of a corner. Look, even Elam, he mentioned, Elam might be developed right now. He might have, he had a great training camp, didn't he? And we just have no idea because he can't get on the field because they have two amazing corners in front of him.
Especially Benford. And, right. And of course, Taron Johnson, another incredible corner in front of him. Thanks, Kyle, for the phone call. 803-0550. Big, meaty, Thanksgiving-sized conversation about the Bills in depth to open us up. Not bad at all. Sal coming up at 7. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, 7:30. We're going to check in also with Pat Hammer on the latest on the winter storm watch and how it might affect the game, the region, who's going to get snow, what the scenarios are as we get closer and closer to game day. We'll keep you informed. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
6 to go in the Sabres power play. Short side attempt scores. J.J. Paterka. His first power play goal of the season. It's 1-0 Sabres.
Happy J.J. the Turkey Day.
I'm seeing more J.J. Paterky.
Paterky the Turkey. It's fine.
Both work.
Kids say the Turkey.
Yeah.
We're at the stage where we're playing mini sticks, and my son Knox will say, I'm Tage Thompson, you're JJ the Turkey. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
We're also at the stage where, so we got a bunch of Sabres mini sticks from the Sabres store, like 7 of them.
Nice.
Because we can't go to a game with him without coming home with a stick.
Are these the curved mini sticks, or are these like the white thin ones with like the logos on them? Where are we at in the mini sticks?
We have some of the curved ones, but the problem with the curved ones is when you buy a set, you get a righty and a lefty.
Yeah.
Which,
I don't need one of them?
I don't need a lefty.
Yeah.
But I can manage and still, I can still beat them. But no, the ones we have are the flat wooden ones. That are kind of like, they're like decoration pieces that you might put up.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm trying to teach him not to slash me so much.
Oh, he's a slasher?
A lot of swinging of the stick.
You got to teach him, throw him in the penalty box.
Yeah. Right now, they don't quite know how the penalty box works. They just know you don't want to be in it.
Okay, right, yeah.
He'll be taking a shot like, don't miss or you're going to go to the box. Like,
you know,
not quite, but
you know, in reality, to make it more fair, I think you should have to use the lefty stick. It's like when DeChambeau plays someone on YouTube and he has to use kids' clubs.
Right.
That'd be the equivalent.
Not a bad idea. Well, JJ the Turkey Day, he's got to score tonight. He's got to score every Thanksgiving Eve game for the rest of his career. I don't make the rules. Those are the rules, though. He's got to score tonight. JJ the Turkey.
Well, Thompson's back centering him.
That's
so
good.
I think he's got a better chance of actually doing
Thompson
that.
Back is very good. Uh-huh. The Sabres, the story was yesterday, Tage was ready to go against San Jose, but they decided to give him an extra day. And
just to be cautious.
What a nice little gamble that is, right? Not to feel like you have to force him in because you've won a couple in a row and you get another one.
Yeah, right.
So, good for the Sabres. They're home tonight against Minnesota. Hopefully they can, you know, keep it rolling. And Friday is another one at home.
Especially probably tonight. You'd think, especially in comparison to like other Wednesday games during the year, packed house, right?
Tough to find a better Wednesday.
Yeah. So there should be some energy in the building. Like tonight could always be a great night, I feel like, the night before Thanksgiving, especially when you're on a win streak going into it. I think people just want to feel like there's hope. And
right now it looks like there's hope.
Right, there is. But so like just building on that would be awesome.
But what we don't need is the team 2 years ago kind of had this where they missed the playoffs by a point. Was that team's home record abysmal, though?
It was ridiculously bad. Yeah.
It's one thing to, horrible. You know, hey, nice job getting win streaks and winning some games. How about winning the games I go to?
Like, right.
If I could choose, I'd like you to use this to win this one instead of the one where you go to Long Island.
Well, and that team 2 years ago, that's the one that missed the playoffs by 1 point. Was it right around now? No, it was before now, I guess. They went on a 8 game losing streak between November 4th and November 19th.
Oof. And missed the playoffs by a point.
Yeah. And they had an 8-game losing streak.
Just keep treading water.
Do you remember what the story was then? Why that happened?
Why did
they go on? What was the explanation then for why they went on an 8-game losing streak?
I don't remember.
And then I think this explanation was later in the year, too, when they went on another losing streak. Don't remember?
I don't.
It was they couldn't win games without Matias Samuelson.
Oh, right.
Right? They couldn't win games without Samuelson.
That's right.
Very different reality we live in 2 years later, I think.
Yeah. Well, good luck tonight. Get a win tonight. 803-0550, our phone number if you want to chime in on that as well. Sabres and Minnesota Wild.
And the Sabres are involved in two trade rumors right now, I guess.
So Chris Kreider is one.
Yeah.
And the other is?
David Juracek, who's like
a defenseman.
First round high pick prospect, but defenseman, yeah. And I've seen some say this is kind of weird because they already have three of this. Like he's just he's an unproven clone, I should say, of Dahlin, Power, and Byram. Like they already have the offensive puck moving defenseman in their top four. Like I guess they don't need that. Why would you spend crazy assets on it?
A Kreider,
the Kreider one is the more interesting
a
one.
A Kreider move is probably a move they should want, right? Like a guy that can play.
Yes.
And it's also an NHL veteran to the point where like I'm not here just to tell you about like, oh, they need vets, but the Jordan Greenway, Jason Zucker level player right now that makes them look like a serious team that's not just a bunch of kids. I feel like there's a lot of value there.
Yeah.
And if they got Kreider, that would probably go in that direction a little more. I wonder what they'd be willing to give up.
I dove in on his numbers a little bit yesterday, and he has definitely taken a step back with his, like, his underlying numbers stink this year, but his goal pace is exactly the same. Like, he's on a 38 goal pace on the year. But one easy way to see, like, he's not generating as much is his goal pace is exactly the same as last year, and his shot percentage is, like, 2% higher than it was.
Okay.
And he only scores goals from in front of the net.
Well, that's what they need.
But he does it on the power play. Like he led the league in power play goals a couple years ago. He scores from in front of the net, and he's fast.
I feel like we're always talking about underlying numbers because there are a lot of them. But one of the underlying numbers I saw was this like average distance of shot in the NHL.
Yeah.
The Sabres are way far away from the net. Like somebody that gets in front and shoots.
That's Kreider.
Or scores from in front like would be valuable because they don't currently occupy that area as much as you might like them to.
Yep.
803-0550. We'll get to Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. As far as Kreider goes, I would point everyone to game six of the Rangers-Carolina Hurricanes last playoffs when Chris Kreider put his team on his back and scored a natural hat trick and exited the Carolina Hurricanes from the NHL playoffs. He is the second he put on a Sabre jersey, he would be the greatest tip the puck guy that this team has ever seen, better than Vanek, better even than Reinhardt at that particular skill. He is pretty amazing, and I kind of am scared at what the Rangers would want for him. It would be a lot more than I think Sabre fans would be willing to give up. As far as tonight, this is where they have, and I hate to say this, they have let us down the last couple years.
Yep.
Now, one of the bad luck factors will not be there tonight, and that's me. I was at a lot of those games that they lost because I am not a fan of the Goathead jersey, so I only went to games in the blue and white jersey, in the blue and gold, and it wasn't good in that jersey 2 years ago. So I won't be there. I'll be watching. But like I said yesterday on my call, the Krebsy, Cousin, and Benson line will be together. And I want everyone, if you can, if you got it saved, look at Cousins' goal in the San Jose game. All five guys, it was that line with Byron and Dahlin, and all five guys just dominated the puck in the zone. It was a low cycle. And finally they got the puck to Cousins, and he deposited it in the net. It was hockey. It was pure hockey from three forwards who forechecked like demons and two defensemen who are ungodly talented. And if those three guys, because they all three need to play the same kind of game to be successful. So if those three guys can feed into and off of each other and be on the ice with Dahlin and Byram, maybe we'll get that second line. Because if this team has had one glaring weakness this year, because the special teams seem to have become fixed, it's the second line has not produced for them. And if this could become the second line, if our brilliant defensemen could push them over a little bit, and these are all Lindy Ruff type guys, these three forwards, boy, that could really mean something. And this 10-game stretch right here, Sabres, if you get just 5-5 or 6-4, or God forbid 7-3 in these 10 games, you will get every piece of goodwill. It will not be pitchfork Paul. It will be pom-pom Paul. Every morning, if you can just go 5-5 in these 10 games, you will get fans in the seats. You won't get me in the seats, but you will get fans in the seats, and you will have me calling and pumping your tires every day, and maybe I'll be on the Jumbotron like you had me 2 years ago opening up the games with my calls. So, Sabres, I love you. We all love you. tonight is a big night, and you got Tage Thompson back, and they got Kirill Kaprizov back, and the Minnesota Wild and the Buffalo Sabres have given us so many shows the last three seasons, those two teams, and it's going to be another show tonight, and we're going to come out on top. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Good luck, Sabres.
Thanks, Paul. When you say, like, I hate to say this, but this is where they've let us down, I fully understand that. Like, you get to a moment where, all right, things look good. Can you keep it going? And I want to also say this. It's important to point out that look at the last however many games, Joe. Remember how disappointed everybody was when they lost to Montreal and gave up seven? That was the blip. They immediately bounced right back and won a bunch right after.
Right.
They beat the Blues. They got overtime wins. Like, okay, you did it. So I want to, as much as I fully understand the point and agree about how, come on, get another one here. I think they actually should have earned a little benefit of, like, all right, a loss to Minnesota, come back on Friday and beat, what do they play Friday?
They play
the Islanders on the road on.
I've got their schedule from two seasons up right now. Hold on.
What are you digging into?
That was from earlier, okay. the eight game losing streak. They play on Friday, Vancouver.
Okay. There you go.
And then they go to Long Island on Saturday.
Big three games. They're all big. That's part of the point. They're all big now. 803-0550, even though it is only November, but you're in it, which is nice.
And he brought up the defenseman there. There was both the NHL website and the NHL like player tracking page, Edge, like the front page yesterday of that site. The headline is Sabres trio of defensemen elevating the team.
Yep.
And Pete Jensen of NHL.com did like a deep dive on the impact Darlene, Power, and Byram are making with like the player tracking stuff. And I think it was offensive zone time? Yeah, like how often they're in the offensive zone when those three are on the ice and they're like the only team in the league with three defensemen like near the top.
It's a good way to win.
Yeah, and they're all putting up points too. So
803-0550, Sal coming up top of the hour as we prep for Bills and Niners and track the status of Brock Purdy, among others. Of course, also Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, some updates coming from the Bills as they are back from the bye week and playing Sunday Night Football against the Niners. 803-0550, our number here on WGR. Good morning, happy Thanksgiving in advance. Funny how the Lions and Cowboys have maybe switched spots. For a long time it was, man, why are the Lions playing on Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
And now, oh, thank God the Lions are playing on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Get to watch them. They've lost, is it 10 straight? Seven.
On Thanksgiving?
Seven straight on Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been good for a couple.
They've been
of them,
good
right?
for 2 years, probably, right?
But even if you go back 7 years, Stafford's still there. They weren't horrific.
Seven straight Thanksgiving game losses. Three of those to the Bears.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's tough.
They are 10-point favorites. And so David Montgomery, maybe you have him in fantasy. You're wondering if he's able to go. He's got a bit of an injury. Dan Campbell was asked about that yesterday, about David Montgomery playing. And his comment was, I'm not going to be able to keep him off the field. He's playing his basically, it's a revenge game for David Montgomery. He's playing the Bears. So Dan Campbell, when we get to our Thanksgiving parlay, I call dibs on the anytime David Montgomery touchdown.
Yeah.
Because they're going to feed him against the Bears.
So let me just get this right. Here's a little stat of the day for you. The Bills have won three Thanksgiving games since the Lions last have.
There you go.
That's incredible. Right, because the Bills won all three. Yeah, they won all three.
Yep. They won in Detroit, they won in New Orleans, they won in Dallas.
Yep, okay, right.
When did they get a host?
They won in Detroit late. That was the, remember Diggs at the end?
Yeah, Allen forced the ball to Diggs. Yeah, it was unfortunate.
Oh, yeah. It worked that time, though.
They won in Dallas. It was a great day. And then New Orleans was bittersweet because they won.
I don't remember
anything
about that game.
They lost Trey White.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I remember the Saints had like a fourth-string quarterback in,
also,
and the game was never close. But, that's right, Trey White got hurt.
In Detroit, they lost Vaughn.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving's not been all that kind.
It's a little bit of a curse, maybe. You don't, yeah.
803-0550, our number, and 1-888-550-2550. We got Sal coming up. I've got a kind of ridiculous thing to ask of everybody out there in the Bills and Josh Allen. We'll get to it today. It's Thanksgiving.
A ridiculous thing to ask of Josh Allen?
Yeah, I think I need them to win three Super Bowls now.
Oh!
Yeah.
wonder if you're. I had a thought about this like a week ago. Like
in the realm of
something similar, maybe.
Here's the elevator pitch. In the realm of possibility, is the Bills winning a couple Super Bowls like Mahomes just has? It's very possible that they could win it this year. And don't get mad at me for doing this, but win it again.
Uh-huh.
They've been good all the time. We're all sitting here saying one before I die. And if you saw one, what happens if, you know, then you die and the football gods say, like, actually, you know what? We were going to give you like four.
We can get to this later, but I was walking my dog before the Chiefs game and I was just thinking to myself, like, you know, it'd be nice if this someday in the future we're getting to, okay, can they catch the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Like in rings, in titles.
Maybe it's the.
But you can't think that yet because you got to get the first.
Because you're not even allowed to acknowledge that your team is good unless you're the Chiefs. They're the only people allowed to ever say anybody's any good.
Although I think everyone's saying they're bad right now.
You can't say that because they're just gonna turn it on and win the Super Bowl. Anyway, we'll check in with Sal, see how his trip was. He was in San Jose, as the Sabres were, and back to a normal week this week. It's Bills and Niners, Sunday night football, and a big one for both teams. I mean, the Bills are in the one-seed race, and the Niners are trying to stay alive because their season's been knocked off course by a couple of bad losses and big injuries. Jeremy and Joe with you here on a Football Wednesday. Let's call it Football Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving.